Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Take your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter number 12 tonight. And I want to give you a little thought out of here. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. And I'll not be long tonight. I know we've got choir practice, and a lot of us has been here since 5 o'clock for the youth camp meeting, so I'll try my best not to be long at all tonight, but I want to give you a little thought here out of 2 Samuel chapter. I was reading, I made this statement the other day that I'd been studying the life of David again a little bit, and I was reading on it, and of course, come to chapter number 12, which we'll talk about chapter number 11 in David's life. Chapter number 11 is what causes chapter number 12 in David's life. But anyway, I came across Nathan, and I've never really studied Nathan out that much here in chapter number 12. But this week I began to look at his life, and I'm going to tell you something, man. There is a lot of preach on Nathan right here, and I'm just going to give you three simple points on it, and then we'll have choir practice tonight. But I want you to pray for us. I think we can learn some things here out of David's life and Nathan's life tonight. Let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. 2 Samuel chapter number 12, the Bible said this in verse number 1, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him, and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." David gets mad because of what Nathan has said that this man has done. Verse number 6 says this, "And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." Look in verse number 7. "And Nathan said to David, thou art the man." Boy, David just gets his sin called out by the man of God. Nathan looks at him and says, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hands of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee to the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little, I would have moreover given unto you the such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Father, I love you tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us for just a little while as we preach thy word. Lord, if there's any here lost, save them. Any here out of your will, and we'll get them back close to you, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to look at this man by the name of Nathan for just a little while tonight. Give me just a few moments to bring you in to chapter number 12 and really to understand that we've got to go back and fill in from chapter number 11. You that knows the word of God knows that David is God's chosen man to lead the nation of Israel. God brought him up. God used his life tremendously. Even as just a lad, God used him to kill a lion and to kill a bear when they come up against him. When he gets on up in his teenage years, I don't believe he's a little boy, when he kills Goliath, I personally believe he's probably between 15 and 17 years old whenever he kills Goliath. But as a young man, David goes to take his brother something to eat. Goliath is come out against them. And David said, "Who is this that defiles the army of the living God? Will nobody go fight for God and the army of God?" And David ends up going and fighting Goliath. And we know the story. David kills Goliath. Now, could you just imagine the way that it looked that day on the battlefield when David stood before Goliath, some 9 feet tall that day, and David said this: "You come to me with a sword and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." And God gave David that great victory that day. Years go on, David becomes king of Israel, and he ends up becoming anointed as that king. And now David is serving as the king of Israel. Who is Israel? Israel is God's chosen people, man. David is the king. David is leading God's chosen people. Chapter number 11 rolls around, and the Bible says this in the beginning of chapter number 11, that a battle was going to take place, and it was the time when kings go forth to battle. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. David was out of place. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it led to a life of destruction at this point forward in David's life. Whenever you begin to look at David, all of David's major accomplishments in his life is prior to 2 Samuel 11. Think about that. All of it's prior to 2 Samuel 11. David gets lazy in the service of God. He stays in the bed, and in the afternoon, according to our Bible, he gets up off the bed. He walks out upon his rooftop, and when he walks out on the rooftop, he sees Bathsheba bathing herself. He looks upon her. He lusts after her. Then he has her brought to him. David commits fornication with her, and David ends up getting Bathsheba pregnant that day. David sends for Uriah, which was one of his mighty men, one of David's mighty men that fought for his life, that kept David safe. This is his wife that he's just now had an affair with. He brings Uriah in. He tells Uriah, "Man, tell me how the battle's going. What's happening on the battlefield?" Uriah gives a report, and then David says this: "Go home to your wife." He's trying to cover his sin. "Go home to your wife, spend the night with your wife, then go back to the battlefield." You know what Uriah says? "As the Lord liveth, I will not do such a thing." He said, "I'm not going to leave why should I go into my wife when the ark of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, is on the battlefield and my Lord Joab?" You know what he does? He don't go into her. The next day rolls around. I'm headed somewhere. Next day rolls around, and you know what he does? He brings Uriah back in, Brother Scotty, and he gets him drunk. He tries to send him back into his wife. Did I say this was David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, that's doing this? The man that killed Goliath, this is who's doing it. He ends up sending Uriah back to the battlefield. But he writes a letter. And in the letter, he tells Uriah, or he tells Joab, to set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and then retreat from him. So Uriah is killed. Uriah don't even know it, but he's carrying his own death sentence in that letter. Sends a sealed letter to Joab. Joab gets it. Joab reads the letter. And you know what Joab does? Sets Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and has him killed. Now, listen to me, and I'm going to hit this and move on. If you'll study the life of Joab, it seems that he could do anything that he wanted to from that point on, and David never dealt with it. Matter of fact, when David dies, what does he say on his deathbed to his son? Kill Joab. That's what he says on his deathbed. Study me out. Some of y'all remember me preaching on that. He says, kill Joab. Why? Because Joab knew the truth about David and others didn't. You better be real careful who you're giving your letter to. Joab turned it all back on David and done whatever he wanted to pretty much the rest of his life, and David didn't touch him because Joab knew the truth. Chapter number 12 rolls around. Now David's killed Uriah. He's took Bathsheba in and he's married her. I'm headed somewhere. He's married her. So what does he think he's done? He's covered his sin up now. Bathsheba's pregnant, but guess what? Bathsheba's David's wife. So now he's covered his sin up, and it seems like nothing in the world will ever happen. Can I say something to you? The old timers would say it this way, the chickens will come home to roost. Can I just say that? The chickens will come home to roost. Chapter 12 rolls around. About a year has taken place in the life of David and Bathsheba. David thinks everything's fine. And the man of God shows up down at David's house. And he says, hey, son, I need to talk to you about some things. And Nathan now lays out what David has done in the form of a parable, if you want to look at it that way. And David gets angry. Why would somebody do this? And Nathan looks at him and says, thou art the man. You know, I've preached on that statement. I've preached on David. I've preached on the sword never departing from his house. But I've never really just looked at Nathan. I want to show you three things about Nathan. Three things about Nathan right here. You say, well, why did you tell us everything else? Because what I'm fixing to say wouldn't have meant nothing to you if you didn't know what was really happening right here. Number one, I want you to note his faithfulness. His faithfulness. And can I challenge us? Let me put it this way. I want to challenge you to be a Nathan tonight. I want to challenge you to be a Nathan tonight. Number one, I see his faithfulness tonight. Nathan never wobbled on the shaft. Can I say it that way? Nathan never turned a deaf ear or a blind eye to the sin of the king. Nathan was faithful. Think about this with me tonight. When you think about this, Nathan was the friend of God, or was the friend of David, but it's very obvious that Nathan was closer to God than he was to David. If you are a true friend, if you are a true friend of someone, you'll tell them the truth. You'll tell them the truth. You'll not sugarcoat it. You'll tell them the truth. And Nathan was faithful in doing that. He was faithful in doing that. I thought about what is said of the forerunner of Christ, John. Here's what is said about him, his life. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. You said, preacher, why do you think about that? Because John was commissioned to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Nathan was commissioned by God to go take care of the business that needed to be taken care of. You and I tonight are commissioned by God to stand for what's right. Somebody say amen. In a world that is wrong, may we be faithful as Nathan was. You remember what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, don't you? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. That a man be found faithful. I want to encourage you tonight, and I don't want to preach mean or whatever you want to say. I'm going to encourage you tonight to be faithful, to be faithful, to be faithful. Can I say something to you? Be faithful to God. Be faithful to His Word. Be faithful to your prayer closet. Amen. Be faithful tonight in the things of God. Number one, I see Nathan's faithfulness. He was faithful, Brother Josh. He was faithful. When you're dead and gone, can we say Tanya was faithful? Brother Rock, I thought about this. Brother Robert, 15 years. Matter of fact, in just a few weeks, I saw my 16th year. You know what I can say about Brother Robert? Faithful. Faithful. For 15 years, he's never missed. If he wasn't here, I knew why he wasn't here. He was mad at me or mad at Miss Leslie, and that's the reason he wasn't here. He's been faithful. I think about Brother Josh and Miss Sandy that's been here ever since we started. Faithful. Brother Brian and Miss Tina, faithful for 15 years. Faithful. Amen. I think about Miss Gloria, Miss Ganny back there. 15 years. Never wobbled up. Faithful tonight. Nathan was faithful to what God had for him to do. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a preacher. Be faithful. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Be faithful. God ain't going to use you if you're not faithful. Amen. You know, the first thing that I look for whenever we need to put another Sunday school teacher in, whenever we need somebody to work with the youth, whenever we're looking for people on vacation, you know what it is? Faithfulness, man. Nathan was faithful. Number one is faithfulness. Number two, I got to hurry or I'm going to lie to you and preach long. Number two, his faithfulness. But number two, and I want to preach right here a minute, his fearlessness. His fearlessness. Nathan was fearless about this situation. The preacher that fears God, I read this today, the preacher that fears God should never fear anyone else. The preacher that fears God should never fear anyone else. You say, preacher, you better be afraid of me. I'm going to run you off. You might ought to be real careful putting your hands on the man of God. God might run you off. I'm just being honest with you tonight. God might run you off. He was fearless when it come to this. Let's think about who David is. David is the king of Israel. David in that day was the judge and the jury. Are you with me? It was not like our day today. He was the judge and the jury because he was the king of Israel. David had the power of life and the power of death in his command. Nathan walks up in there to the man that can say, get him out and string him up by his neck and hang him. Get him out, stone him to death. Get him out, do this, do that. Nathan walked up in there fearless. Said it didn't matter what David done to him or what man done to him. He was commissioned by God to do something for the Lord. But preacher, you know, I hear this and I'm just going to be real honest right here. I see people that they can talk the horns off a billy goat about anything. But then you ask them to go on visit. Oh, I just can't talk to people. I just can't talk to people. Well, you can carry on a conversation with Cole down there. Now, you that don't know Cole, he's the black billy goat down there in the lot, okay? Are you hearing me tonight? Oh, but preacher, I'm just scared to do that. What if a dog starts out the door? What do you do, Brother Heath? You hold your hand on the door. No, that was Josh that done that the other night, wasn't he? He held his hand on the door because the dog was trying to get out. Nathan was fearless. Nathan did not care that life and death was held in the man that he was going to approach. So many times in our life, and I am not, and can I just say something? When a preacher's preaching the Bible and dealing with things in the Bible, he's not being political. He's preaching the Word of God. Amen. We throw everything off on political. No, the word's the word. Sin, sin. Right's right. Wrong's wrong. Amen. I want to tell you something. A lot of times we say, well, I just can't do this, or I just can't do that, or I just... If God be for you, who can be against you? Is that not what he said in Romans? If God be for us, who can be against us? That word if means since, whenever you study it out. Since God be for us, who can be against us? You know what my pastor always told me? You and God is a majority anytime, any place, against any number. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? He was fearless. Around a year had taken place in the life of David from chapter 11 to chapter 12. And nowhere in it, Brother Scotty, nowhere do we find a heart of repentance from David. Nowhere in here do we find David repenting of what he's done. David is living his everyday life. David is going about his everyday life like everything is just a kuna matata, man. But there was a man sent from God by the name of Nathan. And he said, thou art the man. God help us tonight to be faithful. God help us tonight to be fearless. Nathan was unafraid because his life was in the hands of the Almighty. And with that assurance, he went to fulfill the mission that God sent him on. Number one, he was faithful. Number two, he was fearless. Number three, I'll give you this and we'll be done. Number three tonight, when you think about the life of David or the life of Nathan, if we're going to be a Nathan, we're going to have to be faithful. We're going to have to be fearless. But number three tonight, I thought about his friendliness. His friendliness. I read this. And nowhere do I find in this, and I, matter of fact, I can't remember, me and somebody was talking this morning, and we wasn't talking bad about another preacher. We was talking good about that preacher. We was talking about how they take a strong stand. And can I just say, you can't preach too hard for me. You might preach it tighter than I live it, but you ain't going to preach it tighter than I like it. You can't preach too hard for me. Some people say, well, them preachers just preach too hard. You can't preach too hard for me. Every once in a while, I need somebody to walk up in my garden and lay my rose over and tell me just how sorry, wicked, vile, low-down sinner I am that ought to be in hell and get my life straightened back out. Somebody holler amen right there. In this, that's exactly what Nathan does. That's what he does. But look at the way he does it. His friendliness. Nathan was not vindictive when he confronted his royal king. I thought about this verse. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 27:6? Faithful are the words of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the words of a friend. Does anybody know who wrote Proverbs? Solomon. Does anybody know who Solomon's mom and daddy was? David and Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba was blessed with Solomon after this baby in chapter number 12 dies. They go on, they get their life right. God blesses them with children, and Solomon is one of them. I just can't help but to wonder if David hadn't told Solomon about the day the preacher come and paid him a visit. And Solomon is writing in Proverbs now years later, and he says this, faithful are the words of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know what he was saying? He was saying this, faithfulness. Faithful are the words of what a friend. Nathan was the friend of David. And a true friend will tell you the truth. A true friend will tell you the truth. I thought about this. A true friend, will you come start playing softly? A true friend, or do you need Miss Tina, will you come start playing softly? She's got a baby. Thank the Lord for multiple talents in the church. Amen. True friend never, listen to this, a true friend never gloats over the failures of others. Let me say that again. A true friend never gloats over the failures of others. Over the failures of others. And I tell you something, when somebody gets out of church and they go back out into the world, it breaks my heart. I'm going to tell them the truth according to the Word of God because I'm a true friend. Somebody say amen right there. But they never gloat. I read this. If you find it necessary to chastise a friend, let the hand that holds the rod be controlled by tenderness. I'm going to read that to you again. If you find it necessary to chastise a friend, a true friend will tell you the truth. You're wrong. You're not right to live like that. You're not right to lay you out of church. You're not right not to be faithful. A true friend will tell you the truth, man. It may hurt. You may get mad, but it's still the truth. Listen to what he says. If you find it necessary, quote unquote, chastise a friend, let the hand that holds the rod be controlled by tenderness. Let it be controlled by tenderness. Nathan detested David's sin, but he also loved David for who he was. Oh yeah, he was against what he'd done. He tells him, thou art the man. He goes on to tell him, the sword's never going to depart from your house. And it didn't. You that knows the life of David from this point on, David loses, this child ends up dying in chapter number 12. We roll over just another chapter or two, and his son, Amnon, rapes his daughter, Tamar. Then Absalom kills Amnon. Then Absalom tries to overtake the kingdom and takes David's wives and does exactly what Nathan said is going to happen and sleeps with them on the rooftop in front of everybody to see. It all takes place. I just say it this way, the preacher was right. It all takes place. It all takes place. But David or Nathan never looked down his nose at David. He loved him, told him he was wrong, but he never looked down his nose at him. You know what we find ourselves doing sometimes? We find ourselves seeing somebody in the wrong and we look down our nose at them. Well, I'd never do that. I'd never let my youngin' dress like that. They're crazy. Well, you know what? You may not never let your youngin' dress like that, but you'll never win that person to God running your mouth the way you do. Go ahead, Brother Jonathan, preach right there. I believe it will. You know what you're called? You're called a Pharisee. Called a Pharisee. You say, well, that's just the way I am. You're bound. You need to listen to the message this morning. You're bound in some things and need God to loose you and let you go. Don't you ever look down your nose. Boy, I get calls about weekly, Brother Heath, of preachers that messed up. And every time it brings tears to my eyes. And it reminds me that I'm one choice away. I'm one choice. My wife and I is one choice away from going to the divorce court because adultery and fornication in our marriage. One choice away. Oh, it'll never happen to me. I pray that it never happens to me. I'm not going to say it'll never happen to me. Well, preacher, you are to say it'll never happen to you. I pray that it never happens to me. But if I do mess up, I hope somebody will be faithful and come in the right attitude and be fearless and tell me as a friend that I've messed up, but they still love me. Nathan, his friendliness, he still loved it, man. He didn't go in there guns blazing and bless him out. He didn't go in there and say, you blooming idiot, what in the world's wrong? And I said, man, you done wrong. You're the man. Judgment's coming in your life. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know, may we all find ourselves being like Nathan. Just be faithful. Be fearless. And be friendly.